good morning in the precious and matchless name of Jesus Christ. It's Sunday morning and it's Sunday service time. Slip your hands together and bless God today, for he is good. He is merciful. He is kind. He is a loving God. He is everlasting. He is almighty. He is all powerful, for he is our God and we are his. Good morning to all of you that are here in person. Good morning to all of you that are joining us on our streaming channels and avenues. Thank you so much. God bless you for sharing this moment with us and for being a part of what God is unfolding right now before our very eyes. Pinch yourself. You're really here. It's actually you. You said you wasn't going to make it. Somebody else agreed with you and said that you'd never amount to anything. But look at God. You ought to tell your neighbor right now, look at God. Hallelujah. I'm here. So many things may have worked against my being here, but God had other plans, and that's what I want to give myself to in this day, and that is for my life to become completely the will of God. I recite this morning before I get in prayer, and even as I welcome you, the words of Jesus Christ as he hang on Calvary. He concluded, God, not my will, but let thine will be done. Amen. That was after that he had to subject himself to the reality of what was before him. And that is as he wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he wrestled so much thinking about what was before him, and that was Calvary. And as Calvary was looming, he asked his father, Lord, let this cup of suffering pass me by. But immediately his resolve was, not my will, but let thine will be done. At the moment that you are going through the most in life, if you would do what Jesus did, give it over to God and say, not my will, but let thy will be done. At that moment, I promise you, the burden will be lifted. The very effects of what's occurring in your life then will immediately change. I'm not saying that you will not proceed to go through, because he still went to Calvary. But the effects of Calvary was totally different. Sometimes people look at you and they say, I don't know how you do it. And you look at it yourself and you say, I guess I did it so long, it's become easy. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes circumstances don't change, but when God comes in with you, he takes the bite out of the lion. Yeah. He takes the heat out of the fire for you. Amen. Yes. Amen. Now, what it may do to somebody else, I can't say, but I know that the effects for me, hallelujah, amen, are totally different in the eyesight of God. Let us pray, and then I'm going to return and do an acknowledgement, and then we're going to get a word from God today. Lord, we thank you today so much. I want to be specific today. First of all, thank you for letting me receive the message yesterday from Jermaine Hirth. Left a message, and I didn't get it, but he was crying out. And God, I didn't get that message, but you heard his cry. I returned the call this morning. Didn't reach him, but I talked with his sister. And God, I'm believing today that whatever it was, you were God in that moment. He reached out to me, but ultimately he knew, and I know, that it is you. But we go through the proper channels. We reach out to our men of God. We reach out to our ministers. But God, ultimately, we know without a doubt that you are the one that is going to make the cause and the effect in our life. Touch Jermaine today. In the name of Jesus. Tommy Gray in Florida, God. I believe that he's in West Palm Beach. Got news, God, of his sickness. You are God. All sickness is not unto death. You are healer. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood over Tommy right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. These are just a couple of instances, Lord, where I know that you have showed yourself strong. Yes. Thank you that Jock Tapscott walked into this room today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because weeks ago, We had no idea how things were going to go. They were so touch and go. The uncertainties of how things could turn out. You showed yourself strong. He's in this room. We ask you to do it. Now we come back to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the strength of his wife, his children who stood by his side. God, these are things that you are doing right here among this assembly that will remind us from this day forward, if you are for us, you're more than the whole world against us. And if you be for us, no man can stand against us. Thank you for all that you're doing for us. And right now we ask that you would give the teaching anointing in this hour so that people can walk away from here with something that will carry them forward. Let us not walk out of here in the same bad condition. Let us walk out of here better, not bitter. Let us have something that we can hold on to that will sustain us when we are confronted by trying times in life. Let us redefine what life means in this room today, God. To know that you are life and you are the light of the world. Let us reassess the way that we are looking at things and feeling so bad and down about situations that weren't sent to destroy us, but that through them we might discover something that is great about you. I thank you in advance for what you're about to do in the mighty and magnificent name of Jesus. And they all said amen, and amen.
Amen.
Also thankful this morning that I was able to give authorization for my cousin Eric Bossy. A couple of weeks ago, I have to say this because I want to say it, and I think it's important. At the moment that I had to ask God for the strength to complete my task with my father-in-law, when we got back to the house after the repast at the family, and the family was together, two of my dad's nephews, and I told you before, but I want to give you kind of an update. They met me in the kitchen at my mother-in-law's home, and they said, they called me pastor. And the one twin said, I need to get your number, and I need you to have my number. Send me inspirational stuff. Every day, every chance you think, send me stuff that's inspirational. The twin brother came and he did the same thing. You all don't realize that this is 22 years later that they reached into me the same way that their uncle did 22 years ago. See, my father-in-law, who I was saying see you later to, he caught me 22 years ago after revival and said, teach me. Come to my house, teach my family. I'm just coming out of the world. I've done everything that I wanted to do. Now I want my life to align with God. And when my father-in-law grabbed into me, he didn't let me go. He held me responsible for teaching him and standing before him as a God man for 22 years. Amen. At my farewell to him, God sends his nephews. Y'all don't get it. I get it, and I'm going to say it. He was trying to tell me it ain't over. I've only just begun. Now, here are two young men that are younger than your father-in-law was when I sent him to you. And I want you to be the same thing for them. Now, the scene has changed a little bit. We're not having service down in Anniston and everything for now. But for right now, this morning, I saw where I had to authorize him asking for an account so that he can log in to get these services.
Jesus.
Y'all feeling me? Y'all say I feel you.
Hallelujah. Yes, yes.
Give me a minute. I ain't Jamie Foxx, but I know when I know to thank God for what he's doing for me.
Yes.
I ain't had no stroke and I ain't been through things like that, but I can understand what a person feels when they know that God is having an impact on their life. I saw it on your face when you walked in that store. You ain't got to ask Jock. You all right. I'm glad to be here, man. And I know what God has done for me.
Yes.
I don't need nobody to tell me that no more.
That's right.
You ain't got to tell me that. I know that. I just need to know, are you going to help me just rejoice?
Yes.
And be glad. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Man, I tell y'all the truth. I'm right where I want to be right now. In the Spirit of God.
Thank you.
So here we have an acknowledgement. It's a beautiful card too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's my father-in-law. That's William right there. I hope y'all can see it. It says, gratefully acknowledging and thanking you for your kind expressions of sympathy, the family of William E. Patterson. And this was left here on my desk this morning. And that's something beautiful as a keepsake. I think I can get some more of these. I'm gonna give this to his best friend, but she's gonna have to come and get it. She didn't hear me. Come get this, sister. So you can have a picture of your best friend. They was buddies because they always mess with people. If it wasn't one of them, it was the other one, right, Tracy? These two right here, Bill and Gloria Dean, cut buddies. That's your buddy right there. Yeah. Yep. All right. Yes, Lord. So now, welcome everybody. Debbie, I hope you were able to get on this morning. I know all of these electronics, it's nothing's wrong with it. It's just that sometimes we get challenged by the electronics and all of these links and logging in and stuff. But hang on in there. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep trying. This is a personal moment, as I have periodically with you all. It's not like a sermon. Oh, yes. Regina. All right, baby. Get well over there. Send a message to you. We're praying for you and thanking God in advance for touching your body as well. But I need you to know this, too. You can't be everything all the time for everybody. Listen to your pastor. You got to take care of yourself as well. You got to take care of yourself as well. Don't run yourself down. God told Moses, he said, Moses, it's not wise for you to do all of this yourself. You've got to learn how to delegate some things. Sometimes you have to say, no, I can't this time. And sometimes you have to let someone else help. Get it done, but let someone else do it for you. Be an extension of what you do. But don't wear yourself down. Working these hours, taking care of family, raising your grandchildren, kids. Eddie ain't gonna lighten up on you. You got to take care of him, so take care of yourself. Amen. We love you and we miss you. I got a few scriptures that I need to share with you and able to bring this together. Because you know me as a pastor, I have to make sure that what you're getting is a clear understanding. We correspond with God. Correspond. And this is very individual this morning. This is not a message that is so corporate as much as it is individual. This is like me talking directly to you. And what I'm saying to you is that there is a correspondence or a line of communication between you and God. And you've got to know, on God's part, that communication is endless. It is consistent and it is ongoing. We kind of do God like we do our children, but God doesn't do us like that. Children are there, but we tend to tune them out.
Amen.
We can do that with God where we know he's there. We are not saying that we do not acknowledge his existence, but sometimes I think we just tune him out. And the only reason that I would say that I would tune God out is because of that autopilot thing that I talked to you about. I feel like I'm so in control, maybe myself, that I'm kind of saying, if I need you, I'll call you. When the reality of it is, Tracy, is that how can I even exist without him? And the answer is, as Sister Tucker says, you can't. So what I want to do is I want to better my relationship and build my relationship with him by improving that line of communication. And the correspondence with God has to be on my part as great as it is on God's part. And that is, since his is persistent, then I'm going to work on making my acknowledgement and my correspondence with him as frequent as it his is with me. Now, what does the scripture teach us? It says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. And what will he do? He will direct your path. So says the scriptures. It does not say if you are doing the right thing, in the right place, saying the right stuff. It said acknowledge him in all of your ways. Don't wait until your anger has subsided. I think it would be wise to acknowledge God even in the midst of your anger so that he can help you to rid yourself of the anger that you're caught up in. If it's no more than while you're angry and furious, and by right you got a right and you feel like you got a right to be that mad and upset, is to acknowledge him at least by saying, God, I shouldn't be this mad. I should not be this upset. Help me. I don't want to come out of this later. I want to stop this madness right now. That would be the proper way, because God's not going to get mad with you. He's not going to reduce himself to who you are. He's there to be the greater part of you. Can you say amen? Individually, today, I want you to find an urgency to improve your correspondence with God. Let your communication with him start to get better right now. I hear my preacher talking, God, but I need you to speak to my heart. While he is speaking to my sensual, which is my ability to hear, I need you to translate what he is saying that is already in me and let it stir up inside of me something that you've already deposited in me. The man can't really tell me nothing new. Because everything that there is to know, God, you know it. So basically what he is doing is he is now confirming some stuff that I already know. I know that I really need to have and improve my relationship with you, God. And not for selfish reasons either. I need it because if no other reason, As I'm aging, while one thing is decreasing, I really need an increase in God, because where my physical ability reduces, I need my spiritual abilities to improve. In Isaiah chapter 64, this is the first scripture. And then I'm going to take you to a teaching one. I'm still speaking to the individual. To let you know what this whole chapter is about, he is speaking to the coming of the gospel age. He's speaking about his relationship and his communication with people prior to the coming of Jesus, and explaining to them why you're having to go in and out of bondage, why you're having to deal so much with your suffering. And he says, be encouraged, because there's a day coming that the way that I communicate with you is going to be different. And I'm not going to be dropping you off in this land with the Babylonians and the Assyrians and this fourth and the other. But there is coming a day in the period of the time of the Gospels that my relationship with you is going to be different, because I'm going to relate with you through my son, Jesus Christ. That's going to be a wonderful time. Where now you have to go into the temple and make sacrifices. You have to sacrifice animals and you have to do that. You're not going to be able to do that, is because you're going to be able to come before me boldly to the throne of grace. Talk to me. Communicate with me. You're going to be able to pray. That time is coming. Now somebody say with me, that time is now. In Isaiah, this was the promise of the time that was coming. Jock, in verse number 24 of Isaiah 65. And it shall come to pass, Cassie, and that time is now, that before you call, I will answer. And it shall come to pass, and that time is, that when I, before I ask, he has already answered. All right? Now let me show my homiletic astuteness right now for a moment. Let me make myself, show myself as an educated man. In order for him to answer before I ask, he has to already know what I'm going to ask. And if I don't know that he's answered before I ask, that's not his shortcoming, that's mine. It's because I have not built a close enough relationship with him to know that what I'm asking you, you've already answered. Furthermore, verse number 24, while you are yet speaking, I hear you. Now he's talking to you, the individual, where he is basically saying to you that my communication with you at this point has to be endless, because you are forever asking questions. Why this? Why that? Querying life. Why did this have to happen? Why did it happen this way? How did it happen that way? Based on what God has said, and God cannot lie, the answer is there before you ask. How can you fix your mouth to ever say from this day forward to yourself or anyone else, I'm waiting on God? Because obviously, if he answered before you ask, on the contrary, you're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you to get the answer that he has already given. The answer is there. The question that I have for you is, when will you improve your relationship with God so that when life and circumstances create a question, you can stand firm in knowing that I have the answer? Huh? God wants us to know today that he has not abandoned you concerning the things that you're dealing with in your life. We are so focused. I think three people have gotten this message this week, so here it is coming back to you again. How many heard the watch pot don't boil? You heard that. What does that mean? As long as you're sitting there staring at something that you want to happen, it's going to be prolonged because you're so focused that you can't appreciate that things are still going on while the water is getting to its point of boiling. You are so zeroed in what's wrong that you don't see of all of the right. You're so focused on what you want that you can't be thankful for what you already have. Have you had to wait for supper till the bread get done? Same thing as waiting on a pot to boil. That bread, and if you go and look at that oven, that bread is not going to move. It's not going to get brown. And here is what you will say. I'm going to starve to death. You have forgotten about your full belly. You've forgotten about the idea that you're not going to die because you don't eat food. You'll die for the lack of water before you die for the lack of food. But in that moment, you are so focused on what you want done right now that you can't see and come to a blessed way of living for what you already have. Now I'm talking to you now. You're so zeroed in on what you want to happen right now, when you want it to happen, and the way that the outcome was, which you didn't agree with, and you're having fits and you're having that, and you're so focused on that that you can't see the many other things that God is doing productively and proactively in your life. Huh? You're so hurt and messed up. You're so outdone and overwhelmed by whatever happened that you're missing all of the marvelous and wonderful things that God is proactively and productively doing right now in your life. You don't say it, but every now and then when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me. That's a bunch of hogwash. Because you saying that now, but that's something that you have to do every second of every day of your life. When I think on the goodness right now. Go ahead, take about 15 seconds to think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for you. Go ahead, just take 15 seconds. And when you get through with that 15 seconds, start another 15 seconds. And when you finish with that one, start another one. How are you going to catch up
with all of the things that God have done, seen and unseen, in the foreground and in the background, the things that he brought you through, the times that you were just completely ignoring him, and he brought you through your wild life, your rough life, and that's not past tense for some of us, still bringing us through some rough life and some wild life, and forever there. When it comes to our communication with God, know that it is consistent when it comes to him communicating with us.
All right.
God, before I can ask the next question, what?
You've already answered.
Lord, while I'm thinking, you're hearing me. Nothing I can say that you don't hear. Now, here is what I want. The reason I brought you and introduced you, brought you into this way, is because what God wants us to come to, the level of maturity that God wants us to be at right now, is to know that he is forever revealing himself. Let me ask you a question. How well do you know God? No, I'm asking you that. How well do you know him? Real good. Do you know everything there is to know?
No.
Is not? Would you like to know more?
Yes.
How often is God going to reveal himself to you? Huh? He's constantly. So, can I ask you a question? Is it possible that the reason that you are here now and you got up this morning, is it just possible that the only reason that you got up this morning, no other reason, other than God wanted to show you something about him that you didn't already know? The only way that I will come to know God is he must reveal himself to me. Say amen.
Amen.
Can I study? No. Can I ask others? No. That's their opinion of him. The only way that I will come to know God and mature in him is that he has to reveal himself. He has to show himself. Right? You knew him yesterday. But come to grips with the idea, the only reason that you got up today is because he wants to show you something today that you didn't know about him yesterday. Sister Tucker, at your age, why would God keep getting me up? Why don't he just let me just sleep on away? Because, Gloria Dean, there's still something else that I want to show you that you don't already know about me. So don't you today think that you know all there is to know about me, because just as sure as you get up tomorrow, I'm going to show myself in a way that you don't already know me. As a matter of fact, he's showing you now. You could say, Lord, you could have took me. You had me right there on the verge. It would have been easy. They would have said that it was this condition that took me. But no. I kept you because I'm not finished.
Right.
And we want to say, Lord, what did you keep me for? What am I here? What is it that you want me to do? I want you to come to know me. Well, I need this to sink in with somebody. The only reason that I'm here right now is not to make another bill, to eat another meal, to have to deal with another enemy, to try to find a real friend. I am here because God is showing me something about him that I don't already know. I've got to come to know him that way. I know him this way, but I've got to come to know him that way. God is going to take the circumstances of life, things that you create yourself, decisions that you make, paths that you take. He's going to take those things that he gave you the free will to do, and he's going to work within the parameters, and he's going to show himself, and you're the one who made the decisions and the choices. Right. I'm going to show myself. It tells me now that God has a greater plan for me. He has a plan for my life. Now, I'm going to get another scripture. And that is in Luke chapter number 1. Here, in Luke chapter 1, two boys in separate wombs. One is in Mary's womb. Another is in Elizabeth's womb. Are y'all with me? Now, one's unborn is named Jesus. Jesus is in Mary's womb. The other, John's mother, is Elizabeth. John is in Elizabeth's womb. Now, how many people do we have? Four. Two unborn, two that are born. The mothers are here, and they're unborn. Now, I want you to see God in this matrix. Are y'all ready? Go to Luke chapter 1. Verse number 11. And there appeared unto him Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Look up at me. Zechariah is a priest. This is John the Baptist's daddy. All right? You and your son. Just like Zechariah and his son, Don and his son. And we are just about our father's business. Just like Zechariah. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
He was in there doing things in a proper manner. And when Zechariah saw him, the angel, he was what?
Trouble.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Jock. If I saw an angel, depending on how God come at me, I'd be a little trouble too. And the angel would probably have to do me the same way he did Zechariah. Calm down, Don. And you know what I'm going to say to that angel? Give me a minute. Give me a minute. I want to make this as real to you as I can. Fear not, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard. Well, obviously, when he prayed, he must have forgot that he prayed. What you say, Tracy? We do. Obviously, he asked for something and then forgot that he asked. Because the angel showed up to answer his prayer and he's scared. Now, let me stop right there and let me take a pause and put a little humor. How many times have you left the answer and the blessing because you were too scared? Now, if he'd have gotten out of there, he would have missed the answer to his prayers, the process, the productivity, the persistence, and all of these things. Could it be right here so that we can make this real to life? That, I mean, we ask for things and then, what do we do? Do we really mean it? I mean, if you ask for something, should you? I'm saying, okay, well, maybe you gave up on the pot that was boiling. You say, just forget it. I don't even want no boiling water. Just forget it. Just give me the food. I don't want no cornbread. Do we give up on what we asked for because it ain't happening maybe in the way that we thought it was going to happen? But the answer is really always right there. This angel shows up and has to tell a man who asked for something, don't be scared, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth, wait a minute, obviously it's already answered because she ain't gonna get pregnant. She's pregnant. You got to listen to this very carefully. And thou shalt call his name what? John. Are y'all reading with me? When I ask some of these questions, y'all answer, finish my sentence so I know you're reading with me. And no, y'all ain't back there texting. Thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Could God have possibly spoke this over you when you had your first son, Keisha? John, could he have said this over your eldest son, and you didn't get that memo? It's possible. It depends on how you were really working with God when it happened. Or do we start thinking, Lord, we're going to have to get another job. Now we got to feed another mouth. We got to buy some clothes. Soon he's going to be school age. You're going to do that. We got a lot of things on our mind, but if we really tune in real good, God will give us a whole lot of information about stuff. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You should call his name John, and thou should have joy and gladness, not sadness and hard times over this birth. And many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Did it say he's going to be popular? Because John the Baptist never was, but it said he shall be what? Great. Y'all finish the sentence. In the sight of the Lord. And he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He's going to be a Nazarite. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. He's never going to cut his hair. He and Jesus were Nazarites. They would never take a wife, never drink strong wines. They never cut their hair. A razor does not come to their head. Now, he already telling you, when you want to keep that boy's hair cut and make him, he's going to be running around. He ain't going to maybe look. I don't know. I'm not going to translate this for you. I want you to just read what the text says. The dude's going to be unusual. Strange. It's already giving you a precursor, Cassie, that there are going to be some days that you ain't going to be able to figure this out, but it's already in there, and that is that he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Which means that there may be some days with DJ that you're going to be looking like, Lord, did I go wrong? What did I do? Maybe it's because his greatness is not in your sight, but if you would align your sight with God's sight, you could see what God is doing. All right, then I'm in here, and I ain't God, but I speak on his behalf. Align yourself with God. Stop putting yourself in the matrix thinking you're the failure and say, Lord, did I miss something? Huh? You praying to get Kennedy right, maybe Kennedy need to be praying to open your eyes. Huh? Gloria Dean can tell you something now, though that she don't admit it, but now she'll say, Lord, now I see. But there are some days that I was wondering about April. Am I teaching okay? This all has to do with you really holding the conversation with who you really should be holding it with instead of other folk that don't know no more than you do. And he shall do these things because he's going to be a what? What's that group called? Nazaritans. Elijah was one, Jesus was one, John the Baptist was one. They didn't cut their hair, and they be having you making him look like he got this string of hair and stuff like that. I don't know about all of that, but I know he didn't consider. And he shall go before him in the spirit. God's going to go before John in the spirit. Wait a minute, I jumped to see. He shall drink neither, and he shall be filled with what? The Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. That's a whole lot of things that you know about Kamisha. But you ain't going to be able to measure how much her filling of the Holy Ghost is. That's going to be you communicating with God to say, Lord, open my eyes. The first question in abnormal psychology in year number 3 of me sitting in the classroom was, what is normal? Before you can tell what abnormal is, you got to first tell me what's normal. Because there's a whole bunch of people that's supposed to be normal that I'm looking at them questioning. And I'm sure they're looking at me too. What you looking at? Looking at you, looking at me. Looking strange. He is filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. I've spoken over him, anointed him, and in my ways, he's going to be a catalyst between men and God. He's going to be a minister. He's going to be, it didn't say anything about a pulpit. It didn't say anything about being called. It didn't say anything about being licensed. It simply said that he is going to be, to many of the children of Israel, the one that's going to be who I use to turn them to the Lord. And he shall go before him, God shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn their hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This man, in his strangeness and unusualness, is going to be somebody that's used by God. Let me speed up. And Zechariah said unto the angel, how am I going to know this? I'm an old man. Well, he need to go back to the beginning of the conversation, shouldn't he? Your wife. Let me go back and see. Your Elizabeth shall bear a son. He come back and ask, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering saying unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, And I am sent to speak unto thee and to show ye the glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. Now, what does that mean? You're not going to be able to talk. Now, I'm going to put in here that his condition is the result of his lack of faith. He brought this on himself. When the angel said to him, "This is what God sent me to do, and this is what should happen," his response should have been, "Amen." But instead of him standing in agreement, you've already acknowledged now, you've lost your fear, you're communicating with God, but in the midst of you in this correspondence that you have, you questioned whether or not what God said that he was going to do, if he could actually do it. I'm an old man and my wife is too. I tell you what, you won't be able to say anything. The reason I have to close your mouth is because now you're not a mouthpiece for God. You're going to input doubt, which is going to hold up the process of my progression. So sometimes we bring things on ourselves, Don, and your anxiety is because you fail to trust God for who God is and put too much of yourself in it. Now I'm left with a condition that I can't control, and I can sit there and have to work my way through knowing that I'm not going to die, but I feel like I'm dying. Heart racing, palpitations, sweating, voice trembling, because I have too long, people, listen to what I'm saying, put too much of myself in it, when I should have known that God had it all of the time. Now he has to remind me, you're not going to die from it, but it's very uncomfortable, isn't it? But you know what, God? I believe you for a reprieve. This don't have to last always. I'm going to show you, God, and you already know, I'm going to get better. With not trying to carry stuff. When you told me, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden." When you told me to rest all of my troubles on you. Why should I have to repress stuff when I can just turn it over to God? I'm talking to somebody now. I'm telling you all about me and what I have to do. Now, you can't see it on the outside. And y'all going to be, somebody going to call me and they're going to be praying. He done got up and he said he was dying. Y'all should hear how I had to explain this to my wife. God, don't let me wake up and my wife find me dead. Cause everything gone. She ain't not going to do. I'm not making no humor. I'm being real. Don't let her wake up. Let this happen. Now I can ask you what I want. That is not what I want to happen, God. So in myself, I feel like it's finna be over. God come back and say, "This is not over. You brought this on yourself." I'm trying to show you, it's not that I'm dumb. I can still speak, but I'm sitting here now like Jacob with a limp and Zachariah who's mute, and I have anxiety. Amen. You ain't got to say it. Some stuff that you're dealing with right now that you're bringing on yourself, I'm teaching you so that you, and I bet you Gloria can tell you some stuff too, that you brought on yourself because of what, Gloria? Disbelief. It may be hard, but you need to digest it real good. When God say he got it, job, he got it. I know what you know I can do when you had a job. And when you could do the things that you could do, I'm going to show you who I am when you can't. All I need you to do is every day open your mouth and say, "Show me, Lord." All right. If you got me up, you didn't get me up to punish me. You got me up to show me something that I didn't already know about you. Zechariah was struck, mute man now, not able to speak until the day these things were performed, because I don't want you to interject into anybody else any negativity. Huh? And it's going to be fulfilled in its season. And the people waited for Zechariah that was outside while he was inside having this conversation with the angel. And they couldn't understand why he tarried. Why are you in there so long? And when he came out, guess what? He couldn't even tell them. But I'm telling you all, don't do it. When God said, believe it. No matter how ridiculous, how bizarre, how crazy, when God say it, tell your neighbor, agree with it. Agree with it. Lord, I agree with you. It's enough already as it is with the decisions that I made. Don't let me make another bad decision here. This man is a priest in the temple. If anybody should have believed God, he really should have believed him. But even us, we mess up. We don't get it right all the time. You've had to sit here and watch your pastor go through the same stuff that everybody else go through. I'm no exemption to the rule. But don't sit up and watch the boil pot. Watch the outcome. Don got it right. No, God had it right all the time. Verse number 30, 21, and the people waited for Zechariah, and when he came out, he could not speak, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them, but he remained speechless. Y'all come here. I can't say nothing. I guess he now learning sign language. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration was accomplished, he departed to his own house. So he spent so many days in the temple, now it's time for him to go home. Are y'all with me? After those days, by the time that he got home, what happened to his wife? Somebody give me the right answer right here. What happened to his wife? What God said was going to happen to his wife. Now, look up, everybody. This is not an immaculate conception. She ain't pregnant by God. She got pregnant by the man who said, I'm too old. And that's why he can't talk. Huh? And after those days, his wife conceived, verse number 24, and hid herself for 5 months. Now, how much older is John the Baptist than Jesus Christ? 6 months. She's pregnant for 5. Next month, she's going to talk to Mary. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the day wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. Now, that's how Zechariah closed that. He's trying to tell you, this is how God deals with you. Learn from this. The way that I'm teaching you today and I'm talking to you out there, it's enough already. Don't put no extra stuff on your plate because you're doubting God. Don't add to any insult, what you're already having to endure. This was insulting for this priest to have to go speechless for all of this time, to have to let God come in here and have him, and he can't even communicate about it. He can't even talk about it. I'm about to have a son. He can't even say it in my old age. All right, verse number 26. And in the 6th month, the angel who? Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee. Boy, this angel getting around, right? He is in Nazareth. He goes to a virgin. And she is engaged to a man whose name is? And the virgin's name was? Now, don't y'all be like my wife. One day somebody said, Mary and Moses. And she got in on the conversations. And she didn't want to make them feel bad, but she was saying, Mary is not married to Moses. Mary, she came and asked me, ain't Mary Joseph Mary's wife? I said, what are you talking about? She said, April is getting confused because she said, Mary and Moses. April was talking about her mama's mama and daddy. Her mama named Mary and her daddy named Moses. My wife concluded that April was losing it because she thought she was saying Mary was married to Moses. Now, you can talk to me about it later. Get on me. But they already know. April knew that you had that all messed up. This is the real Mary and Joseph. That's Gloria Dean's Mary and Moses, okay? But anyway, Mary comes. Here they are, Joseph and Mary. And the angel came unto her. Now, this time he goes to the woman part. Last time he went to the man. Let's see how she does this. Now, women, y'all usually get it better. Let's see how y'all line of communication is with God. Because we see Zachariah now, he messed around and can't talk. Let's see how Mary deals with it. Amen? So he comes unto her and he says, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and cast her mind what manner of salutation this could be. She considered this. This could be happening. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what? Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How should this be, seeing that I have not known a man? Now, she asked a question much like Zacharias asked. However, and I'm not trying to make this or trying to make it any better. The spirit of this woman, when I read in the verse, and I deal with the context, the content of the context. When I deal with what is actually being said here, I don't know how to fully translate this, but when the angel of the Lord came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, it says that her immediate response is that she was troubled. Now, y'all got to realize that I go and I deal with words that are Greek and try to find the root of that word. When it says that she was troubled, and she cast her mind on what manner of salutation that this was, it means that she humbled herself as being unworthy to be in the presence of such a divine. Let me help you understand that. She wasn't like scared. She was just humbled at the idea that this divine has come into my presence. She acknowledged him as being greater than she was. She received his salutation, but she didn't fully understand it. Let me teach right here. While you ought to have a communication and a correspondence with God so that when he comes to you, I'm almost finished, that you respond to him, Tracy, at the same time in all you're getting, you ought to get what? You ought to understand. You ought to know that God, let me now, in my very humble way, fully understand what you are asking of me. I hope that's coming through to you. Don't get all like you deserving, like, oh yeah, I knew you was coming. I know I done live right all my life. I can understand why you come to me. All arrogant and cocky. No. She was submissive and very humble by the idea that you have come to me. Because the word trouble, where did you get all of that, preacher? Or are you just giving some commentary here to make this sound good and colorful? The word trouble is translated to simply say that she was brought to a very humble demeanor and persona with the presence that the God has made before her. Am I coming through clear? Just lowly, like undeserving, but at the same time, grateful. Huh? What did I teach you, April? When people come to you and they say, thank you, and you be trying to deflect and put it on, well, the owner and this is this. And I told you, God didn't have that person come tell you thank you. They could have went and told the owner thank you. They come to tell you. I'll tell him what you said. They didn't say it to him. Tell your neighbor you need to know how to receive when God is on the giving end. You need to know how to receive that. And this woman was. Help me understand this. How should this happen? And I've never known a man. Not questioning whether you can do it. Just tell me, what should I expect? I hope I'm teaching. Communicate with him. Open your mouth. If you got a question, I promise you he has an answer. Let me talk to some people and I'm going to close this down. Lord, I've been living. I'm sure that my father-in-law had to come to grips with, now how am I, knowing all the things that I did and life that I live, how am I going to sit up here now and talk about I want to get myself right? You have to get past the idea of what you think you did and know that the only reason that God is presenting himself to you right now is because he's letting you know in the first place, I had you all alone. While you thought you was living rough and unruly, I had you then. It's just that I want you to know me now in a different way than you know me in the past. Because if I knew you were against me, I could have stopped you a long time ago. The very idea that I'm here now should let you know that I already know who you are and I had control over what you were doing. People talking about, let me get myself together. If God presents himself to you, you together. You together. God just going to show you something that you didn't already know about him. He's about to get your concepts of him straightened out and on the right playing ground. I had to tell a very dear cousin of mine, God already knew that you were going to be mad at him because he took your daughter. He factored that into the idea before he even put you in your mother's womb. So don't think you're surprising God because you're mad at him. He knew that you were going to be mad at him when he did what he did. But he also knew what he was going to do with your madness. And that is that he was going to show you something in your anger that you didn't already know about him. My son told me, my eldest son, Joel Stephen, told me, his dad, the only reason that God gave birth to my mother was so that she could meet you, so that she could give birth to me. And after she did that, God took her. Now I gotta hear this. While I'm feeling sad because his mother was murdered, I'm feeling sorry for him. He had to come back and tell the man of God, the only reason that my mother came here was so that she could get me here. Now I'm here to do what God has gone through and what she gave her life for me to complete what God sent me to do. I thought I could tell him some stuff. And here he is getting me straight. I'm trying to help him to feel better about the idea that you lost your, and he telling me what God did. Acknowledge me in all of your ways. So she goes on. How should this be, seeing I've known a man? And the angel said in her, verse number 38, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore, all so that the holy thing which shall be born of these shall be called the Son of God. Of thee, I'm sorry. He shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. Now look what he also telling her. There's somebody else that is having the same encounter that you're having. Details are different, but some of the same stuff. She your cousin. They are obviously brother or sister's children, right? And she has conceived in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be. That's what I wanted to get to in this Christmas season right here. This is my word right here. I just need you to just, for you, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing God ain't did it till it really get crazy. God ain't did it till you have to look at it and scratch your head and say, couldn't be, ain't no way. You with me, John? Man, when you have to look back at it and all you can do is laugh because you can't figure it out, that would be God working in impossibility. Nothing is impossible with God. Text that to somebody. Nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said back to him, behold, a handmaid servant of the Lord. Not my will. That's where Jesus got that from. His mama said, if she said this to Gabriel when she was conceived, she taught that to Jesus when he got there. Y'all help me translate what she said back to him. Not my will. No, that's not what the words say. The words say, but see, you got an insight now. God just showed you something. She said, let it be unto me according to thy word. That's the same as her saying, not my will. But I know it sounds strange, some stuff that you conjuring up right now, Keith, some stuff that you know you want God to do, but not your will, let his will be done. In the midst of all of this money that I don't have, time that I ain't got, sickness that's in my body, not my will, God, but let thy will, let God's will be done. Now, how this closes, I ain't going to go back up there, because if I go back up there, I'll be 30 more minutes. God told her, because when he put it on the inside of you, he know you're going to have to tell somebody. Because it's too good to keep it. I'm not hooping, so don't want me. To keep it to yourself. But God picked who he wanted her to tell what just happened. Because everybody ain't going to be able to deal with it. Everybody, see, you're going to walk out of here with some stuff. I promise you, before, when you're on your way home, you're going to come up with some stuff and you're going to laugh because you can't say it. But God chose who he wanted her to share with. I did this to Elizabeth. Now, as soon as this happened, I think the verses after this says that Mary didn't waste no time going to Elizabeth, because God had to give her a head start 6 months in advance. When she saw Elizabeth, she didn't have to say, girl, you pregnant? She already knew that you're pregnant. But this is what blew her away, is that when she came in the proximity of Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, whoa, I just had a labor pain. Hold on. It ain't time yet. Hold it. Wait a minute. I'm only 6 months. I got 3 more months.
To all of y'all that's waiting on God to come in 9 months, he say, I'm about to do some stuff right here in 6. As far as Elizabeth was concerned, she just birthed John. Because she said, this baby is full grown, ready to go. But when Jesus comes in to any situation, he ain't got to already be here. He can just be on his way. He just got conceived by the Holy Ghost, and he already done got busy. Talk, John. He already ready. While you getting ready, he's already. He already ready, man. He came up in there, and John said, whoa. John said, wait a minute, it's getting hot in here. John ready to come on. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? That's what happens when Jesus shows up. Y'all got to understand, I ain't got nothing left but God. That's all Don got now, so if it ain't about God, it ain't really relevant. It ain't about nothing. All the rest of that stuff now, I promise you, it's about God. And I preach this because I would need y'all to know, when you get burdened with this stuff, cast your cares on him. Open that line of communication up with him. I pray that through today, what you just heard and what was just ministered to you, you'll find a place in your life to say, God, I don't know what God's going to say to you. I don't know how he's going to say it, but I know he's going to speak to you. And I know that he's going to improve your correspondence and your line of communication with him. Why did he get you up this morning? To reveal himself, to show you something that you didn't know already about him. That's why you keep getting up. Lord, if I get up tomorrow, that means that I'm in the classroom. If I get up. So stop trying to figure it out and just simply ask him, what do you want me to see today? Sometimes it's simply a communication that he wants you to have with somebody else. I give you an example and then I'm gone. I asked my wife a question last night. And she gave one of the most studious answers that there could be, like she done sat in some classroom. And it was about me being a man of God. And if somebody came to you and say, what, you got a preacher, what makes him a man of God, or how do you see him? And the answer that she gave me was one. And I said, where did you get your answer? She said, I don't know, it's just all I know to say. The only reason, the way you could answer me is that God, immediately, when someone asks you, God will kick in. You ain't gotta try to wait and figure out. Don't think, I ain't read that. Oh Lord, I hope they don't ask me about God. God gonna open your mouth and say, through you, the answer that he wants to give. Just stay close enough to him so you can hear what he has to say. Come to your feet. I love you all. Did y'all text somebody and tell them? To everybody, Sister Patterson was here this week. Thank God she spent all week here with the girls. And she went back home. Bless you. Stay strong. And to everybody that's here this morning, and I don't want to put you on the spot, and I don't want to keep calling your names, but if you made it here and you were able to get this message, even if you had to play it back on replay, you went in the archives and you found it. And I think the title of this one was, it's a part of from manifestation to revelation, but however it's titled, and you get this, I want you to know that it's a good time to start sharing it. It's a good time to start sharing what God did for you with somebody else. Reach out and touch somebody else with it. You don't know how to tell them, ask anybody that you know that I know, or ask me. And let's get this word out so we can make this word go forward. I need God's power in your life. That's where I want it. It's in your life. Don't forget your giving, supporting the ministry, keeping these streams going, keeping things in operation here.
so that we can continue to assemble here as well. Keep your giving going. God bless you and all of your support. I love you. Deborah, I hope you were able to log in. I sent you the address again. Thank you so much for all of your support that you give. And when you're able to do it, we're praying for Dad, his strength, and his recovery. Love you. I see you all next week. God bless you. It's my prayer.